I'm going to teach you something about the hour of resurrection power. God is trying to resurrect. He already is going through the church and shaking it. And he's finished with the church. Now he's shaking remnant churches. He's shaking everything out that is not going to work for him. He can't have any more anything tainted in his house. Ask yourself this morning, where am I in God's timetable? Am I truly doing the things that God has called me for to do? Do I really hear his voice of instruction? How many souls have fallen into the pits of hell because I was still playing around with the things of the world? These are things you have to ask yourself. God, am I really working for you to my full potential? And is the one thing on my mind is it souls? What is really on your mind? Is it to build a big church? Then you're not working for God. Is it to get big finances? Then you're not working for God. God told me his servants need to be concerned about souls. And that's what Jesus was concerned about. That's what John the Baptist was concerned about. Today, God really wants to do a perfect work within you. God's been doing this line upon line and precept upon precept. And with his teachings, he's been leading us out of the old into the new. He's leading us out of that grave that we've been in into his glorious light. There's so many still sitting in the house of God that can't find freedom. Why is that? It's because there's not enough power, resurrection power, flowing in the house. The enemy's working overtime by keeping the house of God bound up so they can't do the things that God foreordained them to do. Sid Roth interviewed a young man who talks about that, and I sent it out to some of you. We need to understand that the enemy, my question has always been, how can the enemy come and sit in this church with the anointing that flows in here? And finally I got my answer through this young man. Remember God said witchcraft was at work again in the church. We talked about witchcraft the other service. But the witches, and God told me the witches were once again attacking the Lighthouse Church. And what the witches are very bold. They just come and sit in an anointed church. That's the ones they target. They sit in there trying to destroy the anointing in the church. For the longest time, I couldn't figure out why that was happening. Why the devil could feel comfortable in here. And I thought there was something wrong with me as a leader of the church. But that isn't what it's all about at all. He's just trying to destroy. The devil is trying to destroy the church. So one thing we cannot do is be concerned about the fact that the devil's sitting in here. What we need to do is rejoice that there's so much anointing here, in your church, that the devil's coming to target that church to destroy it. There's always something positive in everything. Amen. And I always made the statement, when I go to a beauty shop, they'll be really nice to me, and then they start cutting my hair. Next thing you know, they're cutting it terrible, and they're just not even finished. They tell me, get up, leave, I'm done. And I go to a doctor or something, they treat me really bad. And even my husband said, why do they do that to you? And I never understood that. And this young man also said, it's because of the anointing that you carry. And the person is, cutting my hair has the devil in them. And the devil can't stand the anointing, so the devil wants to get rid of me. Do you understand that? So, that's a good thing. Yeah, but it can be a bad thing too when you get a bad haircut. You know, or if you don't get, you know, like you go in a grocery store and, you know, and you're just you, you're really nice and the people treat you bad, won't talk to you, but it won't help you or anything else. It's all because of the anointing in you that's making the devil in them upset. So I think that's a good little bit of advice to know. It's been something I've been asking God about for a long time. And so we got all that cleared up. So if you're someplace and somebody's treating you bad, just say, praise the Lord. The anointing's making the devil mad. See, there's all kinds of signs that show you that you do carry the anointing, but we doubt it, so the enemy can start destroying us. So we're not going to doubt ever again that we're carrying the anointing, right? No, no, no. We know that that we carry the anointing, and the devil and the other person is mad, and he's just trying to destroy you. This new dispensation of time that God is taking us into is so powerful. He's been really showing me we are going to do, you know, the churches are going to tear down the kingdom of darkness. The young kids are going to be so on fire. I just see the young kids, they dance and they sing. And, you know, they're just like a wild bunch of, I don't know what. Well, God called them stallions. So he said, you know, they're stallions. And so, and you know what stallions do. They're wild and you can't. Put a rope around them, right? We aren't trying to put a rope around y'all. We're glad that you're the stallions of the church, and we're glad that the older people are not going to get jealous, right? Older people. We have our job to do, and that's to keep them reined in so that they don't do anything dumb. That's what our job is. So God's going to use everybody, old, middle-aged, and young. But mostly the young is the ones that he's targeting right now, as he just spoke to us. So you young kids, if you graduate from high school, now you say you're going to college. Guess where revival's at? It's in the colleges right now. The revivals are on fire. I mean, the colleges are on fire for God right now. And the young kids, if you notice some of these songs we sing, it's all full of young college kids. They're just really running to God with everything in them. So I'm a little bit jealous because you're going to go right into revival. And it's going to be marvelous. It really is. Now, if you're not going to college fresh out of high school, that's not a bad thing. So don't you get upset either. You can run over to college and have revival with them when the earth's breaking out. Amen. Anyhow. God told us that where there's going to be so much anointing, and I believe with every fiber of my being that this is the fall that revival is going to drop, because God's been telling me for years it's going to drop in the fall. So each fall it doesn't drop, but I really believe that the way God is cleaning up the church right now and through summer, I really believe with every fiber of my being that this is a fall that the glory is going to drop. This is a fall that we're going to see the signs, wonders, and miracles start really. I mean, I know we see signs, wonders, and miracles here and there, but it's going to be like we've never seen before. And everybody knows that the body of Christ has been fought tooth and nail. We've all been going through things we never thought we'd ever, 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 ever go through. But the devil's trying to take us out, because he knows what's about ready to happen to his kingdom, and he doesn't want his kingdom to be destroyed, okay? And we know that right now we're in a season where the things you were delivered from, the devil's trying to pull you back into it. And it's a hard fight. And I'm not going to say it isn't, but it's a fight that God's already won for us. When Jesus was on the cross, he won the total victory. So don't give in and think, no, I'm just never going to get through this. Yes, you are. You're already just about there. Then this season came upon us where the devil's pulling us back into our old ways. And now we just have to keep fighting. We just have to keep telling the devil who he is not. And what did God, he asked my granddaughter, who is the author and finisher of your life? Because he's trying to bring her back, take her back into being an alcoholic. And she has to tell the devil every day, every second if she has to, Jesus is the author and finisher of my life. And God said, if she does that, she'll get through this trying time that the devil's trying to pour back into. So that's what you need to do. You know, when the devil comes at you, just say, you're not the author and finisher of my life. Jesus is. And just keep moving. Just like Jesus did in his temptation. He kept saying, it is written. I said, that's so much. I thought I had a little machine inside of me that just repeated that all the time. But you know what? It works. The devil does leave. When he knows you really mean it, he does leave. And I don't care who you are. Everybody is tempted. I don't care who you are. You in some way, shape, or form. But the Bible says in every way of temptation, God's made a way out of it. So, you know, that's what I hang on to. Devil, I don't care what you bring my way. My word tells me God's made a way for me to get out of this temptation. All right? So we really don't have nothing to, we stand before God. We have no excuses, do we? Because he's strong and he's mighty. And that's who we're running into constantly. All right, let's read here what we have for a little bit. The glory of God is resurrection power. All right? This is the hour of resurrection power. This is the hour of rising from dead works. God wants to resurrect us today from the grave and bring us into his marvelous light. God wants to place us in our future so we can fulfill our destiny in him. I just want to stop and share this. God's been showing me in the Word, and he's really been dealing with me about this. A lot of people are fighting, you know, bad habits. And they'll make it, but they've lost their mantles. They'll never walk in what God called them to walk in. They'll still be saved. They'll still work for God. But the great and mighty works that he's spoken into your life that you're going to do, you won't ever do. So I'm asking each one of you in here today, don't give up that mantle. I tell the devil, you're not taking my mantle from me, buddy. I worked too hard to get this. And I'm still working hard to keep it. So just because you have a mantle does not mean that you're always going to have that mantle. You have to work hard. And God always tell me, don't let anybody steal your crown. And what did he tell King Saul? King Saul was not supposed to be king, but the people wanted him as king, right? And so God made him king. And then Saul decided one day, well, he wasn't going to listen to what the prophet said. He was going to do what he wanted to do. And that took the crown from him. He could no longer be king. The prophet said, you would have been king forever. But because you disobeyed God's commandment, he's taken the kingship away from you. And then King David got it. So that's just like taking your mantle, you know. God speaks a word over your life. This is what you're going to do. But if you disobey God, you'll still be saved. But, you know, I don't know about you, but I just don't want to be a Christian. I want to be a soldier. I want to work for God, and I want to fight the devil. My father, earthly father, taught me how to fight and, you know, not fist fight, but just fight to survive. And I carry that with me. I'm a survivalist, I think you call me, right? So that's what you have to be too. You have to say, I'm going to survive. And devil, you're not taking nothing from me that God's given me. Yes. Amen. Come on. There's going to come a day, guys, when we're not going to work this fight this hard. We'll start to fight, but not this hard, because there's going to come a breaking whenever God finally gets us through all this stuff we're going through, and then it's just going to be like a glory train. And it's just going to be working for God, miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. All the wonderful things God has, don't you feel the Spirit? All the wonderful things that God has spoken in our life is finally going to come to pass. If you're a young person in here this morning, and I know some of you are, I know you're young, but I know you're being fought. The reason why you're being fought so hard is because the devil knows that if he doesn't stop you now, he's going to take your kingdom. Yeah, he wants to stop you from taking his kingdom. And so he's trying to take your mantle. All right? I don't care what you're going through. I go through everything. I go through the same things you do. And when I say I don't care what you're going through, I say that with love, because I know that if you keep fighting, God will help you overcome it. You are the winner. You're the head, not the tail. You have to keep reminding the devil that every day, I am the head and not the tail. And the more anointing that you have, the higher calling that you have, the harder the devil's going to fight you. If we can get that into our spirit or into this little thick thing up here, you know, we will defeat the enemy at every turn. And you can have joy in the midst of the biggest battle that you can go through. And you don't say, oh, I can't have no joy. No, you don't want to have any joy. And because the enemy's trying to steal your joy, because God, what's been God been telling us? The joy of the Lord is what? Our strength. And if he can take our joy, then we're weak and he can defeat us. So if you even have to convince yourself you're joyful, do something, but make yourself sing or praise or whatever. How many of you ever been listening to praise music and all of a sudden you just couldn't stand it? Now, don't lose your smile over that. You know, I can be listening to praise music and all of a sudden it just makes me so irritated and makes me just feel like I want to, and I turn it off. And what happens is because of the, you know, my house has people in it aren't saving God, that demonic spirit's in my house and that anointing and from that music is driving him crazy and he wants it turned off. Are you listening here? So what do I do? Okay, devil, it was you. I'm turning it back on. And I just drive him right on out. Right? Y'all looked at me, you had a big smile, and you lost your smile there when I first said that. You know, truth is the truth, isn't it? Come on now. We're all fought the same way. Well, with our personalities, we're fought differently, but with the devil's after the same thing, and it's our salvation. All right, God said, I am going to resurrect what has been dead and buried. You are about ready to receive the surprises of your lives. All, and I mean all that I have promised is on its way. You have been patient. Hear what he said there? All, and I mean all that I have promised is on its way. How many of you, when God said there's a light at the end of the tunnel, you say, where is the end of the tunnel? I don't see no light. I've said this many times to God. He said, the light's coming. You're soon going to see it. And all of a sudden, bloop, there's the light, and that test trivium stops. All right, God said, you have been patient. You have been warring for quite some time now. And now is the time for you to receive your just reward for all your faithfulness. Now, I started a church in 1980, I think, or 81. I've been warring for a long time. And this made me happy. He said, you have been warring for quite some time now. And now is the time for you to receive your just reward for all your faithfulness. Now, how many of you have been warring for a long time? And you just keep fighting, just keep moving. And God told me the other day, he talked to me personally. He said, did you fall down? Yes, but you always got up and you kept going. You know, when I was going through a battle, and he says, you never left me. You know, I didn't stay down. I didn't blame God because I know that I'm in a battle. And I just, you're laying down, I mean, you sit down and you cry. You say, God, I just don't know if I can do this anymore. And you just cry, and then God sort of smacks you on the head and tells you, get it together. And you stand back up and keep going, right? And that's what God calls faithfulness. And he said, when others would have given up, you stood the course. And think of yourself like that. I'm going to be the one that stays the course. I'm not going to be the one that lays down and plays dead or is dead. I'm going to keep on moving. Even if I don't know my direction, I'm just going to keep on walking. And I know that God has me. And I just keep on walking, trusting, having faith that all is well. Many have just, this is God speaking, many have just about given up hope and many were just about to quit the race. But I intervene in time for all to come to fruition. Children, there is, I never wanted to give up the race because I would hold on to my crown. You know, I fought too hard for that thing. You know, and I love rings, so I don't want nobody to take my jewels. Come on. You have to hold on to something. And even you have to be a little bit silly about it. Hold on to it. And don't let the enemy steal your joy, steal your dreams that God has given you. The only dreams I have are the ones God gives me. And that's what I keep looking forward to, what He's gave me the dream about. This is what each one of you need to do. Your dreams don't mean anything. What you want is what God has spoken to you. This is what I want you to do for me. You know, that's your dream. That's your goal. And how do you get to that goal? You just keep fighting. You just keep believing that God's with you. And He is. And you keep have to have faith. God told me years ago, the devil can do anything, everything to you except kill you. And so I reminded Him that all the time. He can beat me up. He can do anything. God said He's going to twist you every way but loose. But when He's all finished with you, you'll be standing on your feet, facing me and praising me. He said He can't kill you. So I tell the devil that all the time. You can't kill me. And what you're doing to me isn't getting to hurt me anyhow, because God's with me. He's going to try to make you believe He can kill you. And sometimes you wish you were dead. How many of you have been in a battle so long you wish you're just dead? Just get it over with. You know. But he can't take your life until God's ready to take you. Always remember that. All right. That'll keep in the years I've been in, born again, that'll keep you. Believe me, it will. That'll sustain you through the hardest times that you ever go through in your walk with God. God said, children, there is so much that has been in the making for quite some time now, and I must fulfill all of my promises to you at this given time. See what He said? At this given time. I have been maintaining a steady flow of my anointing into you. He's been doing that to this church. And I have been pouring out my holy oil to give you the power and authority you will need to accomplish this. Look at what He says here. I have been maintaining a steady flow of my anointing into you, and I have been pouring out my holy oil to give you the power and authority you will need to accomplish all the works I have before you at this given time. He's been doing all those things. You know, one time years ago when I was going through a really bad situation in my marriage, I was in my study. I was crying, you know, talking to God. And I walked out on the porch, and there was a heavy mist, and the only place the heavy mist was on my porch. And I said, God, what is this? He said, this is the dew. What is the dew of what? Hermon. The dew of Hermon. And it wasn't any place but right on the spot I was standing on my porch. Isn't that awesome? He was comforting me in my times. Then one other time He said to me, daughter, I have brought the alabaster box to you. And we know about the alabaster box brought to Jesus. But He said, I brought the alabaster box to you. There's no way you can tell me that God isn't real. There's no way that you can tell me that He doesn't love you unconditionally. You know, that was awesome to me. One other time He came to me and He said, daughter, I brought my water. I'm going to wash your feet. You know, this is the kind of God you serve when you're down and you think there's nobody there for you. God will do something fantastic for you, to you. And might not take your problem away, but guess what? You'll be rejoicing in the fact you have a Father that loves you so completely. Did He take the cross away from Jesus? No. He let Jesus go through everything He had to go through so you and I could be saved. So why do you want Him to take your cross from you? You know, if He's told you to do something, that's a cross. And so you just go ahead and bear that cross and do what God's telling you to do until it's finished. Could be an assignment to get somebody saved. My second marriage was all about getting my husband saved. That was a heavy cross for 20 years, but he's in heaven. Are you understanding this, you know? And God kept me through those 20 years. Are you understanding this? I don't care what God asked you to do. He makes a way. He truly does make a way. And everybody said, well, God wouldn't ask you this, and God wouldn't. I got kicked out of a church one time because I said Christians would suffer. How dare you bring that blasphemy into the house of God? And they kicked me out. And then I read my word where it says we will suffer. All right? Come on. Lost my place, I think. God says, I know I speak about resurrection power over and over again, and you have become weary in waiting for this to occur, but now is the appointed time, and you shall see the fulfillment of my promises in your lives. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We can shout victory this morning because he said right now. Then he says, children, I have not forsaken you. You are too precious to me for me to overlook you in any area of your life. See, in any area, God cares about every part of your life. He really does. I'm a witness to that. He is. Why do I teach? Because I've gone through everything I teach. And I can tell you that God is more than enough. You know, I was thinking last night about some of you guys. and God reminded me that he told me when he told me to start the church, he said, I'm going to send in leaders and pastors, and you're going to teach them, and I'm going to send them forth and use them. So I thought people with reverend in front of their names would be coming into the house, God. They do. But really, truly, it was people like you that he wants to use to minister his word. And he brought him in here to test them, believe me. Can I test you? And he uses me to test you. To see how strong you really are not. And the ones that stick, then those are the ones he uses to go setting forth. And we've had so many people, well, God told me, and he said, daughter, your doors are going to be swinging doors. Then he said, many are called, but few are chosen. And God has a way of weeding out the ones that he can't use. So I'm so glad some of you are still sticking. That means you still have a chance. Amen? Come on. Pastor, you need to think about it. Everybody comes through your door. They're potential evangelists or pastors or whatever. And you're to teach them God's word and God's way. Teach them the truth so they can take the truth out into the world. When I was evangelizing, and all I ever had in the church was truly pastors. They didn't fare too well with a prophet. God was not easy on them, and he told the truth about them in front of everybody. So, you know, but that was what I was sent to do. My evangelist is my calling, really. So you have to do what God's telling you to do. And what you do is you go in, you know, you go with no preconceived notions and just let the Holy Spirit speak through you. They were so excited the prophet was in town. Halfway through the time, they was wishing they were dead or under the chairs or not had come at all. Amen. I remember, see, I want you, people have got to know this. I remember what I'm saying is you have to do what God's telling you to do. Somebody invited me to a church, I think, over in Maryland. We got there. And I got there and started talking about bishops. Because everybody's a bishop, you know. And I said, God, why is there so many bishops? He said, I didn't call them. They're self-ordained bishops. Half the church got left. They were all bishops. Forever, that's all I got. That's all I said. They left. They didn't stay for the rest of the service. And the ones that did stay wished they hadn't. Because God told the truth. But you're going to go into the house of God where there's a prophet, a true prophet who really listens to God's voice, then you're taking your life in your own hands. You know? And because he's going to tell the whole world. Remember the story I tell about myself? And this was years before I even knew what that meant. The prophet, I think they turned up the microphones when it came to me. And everybody loved me. Thought I was just wonderful. And God said, you're bearing bad fruit. I'm going to cut down your tree. I didn't know what that meant. And I thought that was sort of, now I'm going to grow back up again. And I'm just sitting there grinning, standing there grinning. And then as I left that church, everybody said, Pastor Barbara, we'll be praying for you. We love you. And I thought, when were they all telling me that? Well, God cut down the tree. I understood what that was all about. I think I got, I don't know what I did wrong, got an unforgiveness or something. I don't did something. And I was bad fruit, so God cut down my tree. See, I was glad I was ignorant right then. Or I'd have been really embarrassed, right? So if you're going to go in it, where there's a prophet, be ignorant. And just listen to what God has to say. Anyhow, I've lost my place. All right, God said, will you please trust my word and will you please know that I stand with you no matter what I call you forth to accomplish? Your life is all booked out before you, and I have not torn out one page since the book of life was written. See, God knows everything you're going to do. Every stupid little thing you're going to do, every bad thing you're going to do, he knows it's in your book of life. So it's no surprise to him if you do something dumb. And how many times has God said to us, you went down a side road I never intended you to go, but I went down the side road with you. He's told me that a couple times. You know, sometimes we just do things because out of our heart, because we think, oh, I got to do this for this person. And don't do that. Because them are side roads of God, because you get hurt on those side roads, because you're out of God's will. Your life is all booked out before you, and I have not torn out one page since the book of life was written. You are destined to accomplish all that I have called you for to accomplish in this dispensation of time. I know there are so many twisted versions of my word out there, and I know that there are many false prophets out there saying things I never said. But you know the truth, and you will always know the truth. And I tell you beforehand what is about to transpire in your lives. Everybody that sits in this church, hasn't God forewarned you something was going to happen? You know, or just like, you know, he told Adriana, you're going to be going down a really dark road. And, you know, he forewarned, but when the dark road started, she was in a tizzy. You know, she forgot that she was forewarned that she was going to go down this. And when God said you're going to go down a dark road, it's a dark road. Yeah, it's not fun to go down a dark road. And when you hear that, start praying for that person. Because a couple people in right now, I think there's three of you that are going down a dark road right now. And it's hard. It's really hard because you really, and they told one person, you will even want to kill yourself or want to die. It's like, and that person said to me, right now, that part of the prophecy is coming true. I really want to die. This is so dark. I never, ever thought I'd ever go down this dark road. And how many of you in here, you've gone down dark roads you never thought you'd go down? But God forewarned you. God knew you was going to go down that road. So he was all prepared to keep you. God always tells me, I have your back. You know, see, he's prepared. He has your back. He puts you in somebody else's heart. They will pray for you until God tells them it's okay. How many of you in here, you've been sitting at home or maybe driving your car or even at work, and all of a sudden God puts somebody on your heart? God does that to me a lot with pastors that I know. And I'll say to Chris, have you heard from this person or that person? And I said, because God's really laid me upon my heart to pray for them. And see, when God lays somebody upon your heart, pray for them. You don't have to know if they're going through something. Pray for them. But because we have ordained some people, these people, I would like to keep up with them and find out, you know, are you all right? I already know what they're going through because God told me. But I still like to follow up to let them know we're here for you if you need us. You girls should do that with your friends, you know, and God lays somebody upon your heart and you pray for them and just maybe call them, say, you know, if you need anything, I'm here for you, because they're going through something and they might not be telling you, but God is telling you by laying them upon your heart, right? All right. Never think you go to battle half-dressed. I will make sure you have all you need before I send you out among the wolves. Many times I thought I was half-dressed, but I really wasn't. I just wasn't, even though God told me it was going to be a bad battle, I wasn't quite prepared for the battle. You know, just because it's just things you think you're never going to go through. And even though God said they're going to be hard, you think you have yourself prepared, but you're really not when you get into that battle. You know why I think that is? Because that's when I say, Jesus, where are you at? You know, you start calling upon him, yeah, because you really need, you know, you need help at that point. All right, God said, I am gifting you in various ways at this given time so you can battle the hordes of hell. What's he doing? Gifting you in various ways so that you can battle the hordes of hell at every turn. You are surely in a safe place with me, and you shall be continually covered with my pinions. Now, I'm going to quit there because it's already 20 after 12. Benny, I like God's message of when we first started better, right? Even though this is God speaking this here. There's some of you that God said that you've allowed the horses to trample you. What's it say? If you can't run with the footmen, how are you going to run with the horses? And seeing God told me that one time, and you know, I was complaining really is what I was doing. He said, if you can't deal with this small thing, how are you going to deal with something larger, you know? But right now, he just said, some of you have allowed the horses to trample you. In other words, you gave completely into the whatever, you know, was going on in your life. You just couldn't handle it, so you just gave into it instead of calling on God until he saw you through it. So this morning, I'm asking each one of you, don't let the horses trample you. If it's too much for you, then it's not from God anyhow, because his word says, I never put anything more on you than you can bear. All right? So one time I said that, and I said, God, I can't handle this one. He says, because I didn't ask you to handle it. So sometimes we just pick things up we shouldn't pick up. So whenever that happens, you know, and you just feel yourself going under with that thing, cry out to God and repent. Say, God, I should never have got myself in this mess. So will you please take over? And he will take over, and he will get you out of the mess that you're in. You know, you young kids here, I think it's time that you buck up. You know, be strong. And take your place, your rightful place in the kingdom of God. You're not here because somebody just drew you here. You're not here because something in here drew, kept drawing you here. You're here because God brought you here because you are a leader. And you're going to go forth and you're going to destroy the works of the enemy. You're going to do this. I only say what the Holy Spirit says. I'm hearing this as I bring it out. So quit thinking that you're just here. You're not just here. God wants to anoint you and to use you. He's tired of watching the enemy destroy you. And I'm hearing him saying, this is your day of salvation. And that doesn't mean you haven't been saved. That means this is the day when God's here to help you. He's here to help you in all of his fullness. And so if you're going through some terrible times in your life right now, I'm hearing God say, some of them are from me and some of them are not. It's the enemy oppressing you. And God wants to free you from that thing right now. You young kids, I would like for the young kids to come up. And if you know that you love God with all your heart. Now listen to what I'm saying. But there's something binding you where you can't really push yourself through. And be all that God's calling you to be. That's the enemy holding you captive. So if that's you, I want you to come up to the altar.